Welcome back to Ask Uncle Lee. It is Wednesday again, and if you have any questions, anything you would like help with, anything you would like clarification with, anything I can maybe add input to, just drop the question into the comments below one of the Ask Uncle Lee videos, and I'll add it to the list. But first, let's get into the intro. Welcome to my channel. You are entering the world of magic and mysticism with your host, Lee W. Johnson. Keep the lights on and help improve the channel by becoming a supporter for just $2.99 per month. Hit the join button. All right then, so first question is from Alexis, Georgia. This was in relation to a previous video I did. If someone's already dealing with a sacral block, what would you recommend? If somebody is dealing with a sacral block, it's usually due to, as I said previously, this is often the result of sexual guilt. What's the best thing to do is actually go and get therapy. If you haven't done, you know, normally before we get to this point, we would have been working on the third eye in order to become the observer or develop the observer mind. And this also fits in well with particular psychology, I believe, Jungian psychology, actually. So, having said that, you could also look at doing shadow work in order to resolve this. But, you know, it's a bit of a difficult thing because it's going to be a very personal issue. So, I think that definitely the first thing to do would be to go and seek out professional help, get therapy and work through it that way. At the same time, you can work on you can do shadow work, and if you do find a therapist who is particularly geared towards Jungian psychology, then you can actually work on do that shadow work with your therapist, which is probably the best option you can actually get in that regard. So I would definitely do that. If it is causing a problem, then you just can't break through that barrier, then it is probably better to go and get some professional help regarding that. All right, so I'm going to actually not go any further with that one because, it can be a very complicated issue. And I think a simpler answer is more appropriate. So let's move on. Okay, so next question is from Max Blizzard. Hi Lee, thanks as always, it's a pleasure. What is the difference between a pact, a petition, and a dedication in demonology? Thanks in advance. May seem like a silly question, apologies if so, Max. It's not, definitely not a silly question. All right, so when we talk about pacts, now, the topic of pacts actually gets very difficult. I have spoken about pacts in the past and something I don't really think that anybody should be doing because of the misinterpretations that are so prevalent out there. When we usually talk about pacts in the general sense, it often boils down to what people think of as doing the Hollywood type of pact where you sell your soul to the devil for 10 years and then the hellhounds will come and take your soul away after those 10 years. That is definitely not the case. when we create pacts with spirits, any spirits, not just demons, not just in demonology, in any area of light, in any area of magic, spirituality, witchcraft, etc., what we're doing is we're almost making a bargain, but it's an exchange of energies. So a pact. A typical pact may be with a particular spirit that you want to work with for the rest of your life, not just for a short period of time, but for the rest of your life. And that may look something like, give me a familiar that can help me with my magic, and I will do a particular ritual dedication offering once a year or once every Sabbath or something like that. But it's not something crazy like, you know, I will sacrifice myself to the volcano spirits and all that stuff so that I can become the richest man in the world, or, you know, that's definitely the Hollywood stuff. You can make packs for short periods of time. I have done it with Clawneck quite successfully. In fact, if you go into the Grimorium Verum is very much about pact making. But this is if you go through the Grimorium Verum, what you're going to find is this, it speaks about two types of packs. One is a physical, tangible pact, something like something that's written down and actually kept. The other one is not physical, it's verbal. Like a verbal contract, verbal communication. So again, it's really speaking about, if you do this for me, I will do that for you. And if we then go into the way we kind of view these relationships within demonolatry, you know, we build the relationship with the spirit. So it's not just this quick, sudden exchange or thing that happens. It's a long-term thing, and you know, we get spirits come in and go out. They come in for certain periods of time, they teach us lessons, and then they leave, and that's a particular type of relationship. They may keep coming again later, they may not, but the idea is to build up a relationship so that we can then go and say, you know, I'm giving you offerings, I have had this relationship with you, can you help me with this little project I'm trying to get accomplished? And that's really the same thing, you know, but it's not that formal kind of writing it down and signing it with your blood and promising that the devil can come and take your soul in 10 years and all of that Hollywood rubbish. But that's really what the pact is. So I just want to actually move this across because I created this nice little logo and I was covering it. Right, so let's just put that in the center. Okay, then petitions. Petitions are very much very similar. A petition, you know, we have various different types of petitions we can do. We have petitions which are very similar to aspecting, where we pull in the energy of the spirit and we request something. Again, that's non-verbal. That is verbal. It's not, or through thought. It's not something which is physical or tangible, something that's written down. But a petition can be a petition paper. It can be prayer paper. So what you can do is you can call in the energy of the spirit. You can then sit down and you can write a letter to the spirit. Which is a very, very nice way of doing things. Write a letter, you know, formally introduce yourself. Say, I am XYZ, my magical name is blah, blah, blah. My mother is or was, etc. My father is or was, blah, blah. And you formally introduce yourself and then you carry on with the thing that you want accomplished and why you want it accomplished. And you make this request, this petition, to the spirit through a formal letter. And it's a very nice way of doing it. And then you can sign it at the end. You don't need to, you know, sign it with blood or anything like that. Just sign it. That is also a very personal thing. Your signature can be used as a tag lock within magic. So if you sign the letter at the end, it's a very personal thing that you're adding to that aspect, that piece of spell working. And then a dedication. A dedication is usually part of building a relationship. A dedication is usually a lifetime thing, usually. So what you would be doing is you can dedicate yourself to your path. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be to a particular spirit, but it can be to a particular spirit. So if you have a very personal, long-lasting relationship with a particular spirit, you may want to dedicate yourself to them. Very similar to if you were in a relationship with a person and you felt you wanted to spend the rest of your life with them, you dedicate yourself to them. Similar thing. So you dedicate yourself to the spirit, and this is usually done in a formal way, through a ritual, through a ceremony, where you dedicate yourself to that spirit. But as I said, you can dedicate yourself to your path, you can dedicate yourself to yourself. By dedicating yourself to yourself, you're promising yourself that you will do the best you can in order to build a good relationship with yourself. And sometimes that's a good thing. I think people kind of disregard themselves too much. Definitely don't think that would be a silly thing. It's a very good thing. All right. And I think that answers that question. It might not be from the perspective of demonology itself, but it is from my own personal perspective. All right. So let's have a look at another question. All right then, from Skeletussi. Good responses to these good questions. Leviathan is great. I have a question though. Do you believe that demons sometimes just leave people they've been working with for whatever reasons? Do they lose interest, or maybe believe some people just aren't a good fit for them to work with, so they choose to stop helping you, even if you have been working with them for a while? I'm currently going through this. Yes, all spirits will come and go. It doesn't really mean that they've lost interest. When we're talking about these entities, some will say that they are. They have a personal interest in you. Some will say they don't really give a damn. They're spirits, they're entities that have bigger issues going on. So they don't really have interest in you, but others say they do. So I can't really say if they do or don't. That will be a very personal thing for you. But spirits will come and they will go. I've got a very funny beard today. Excuse me for that. Spirits will come and they will go. And what I find myself is that I have one or two entities, gods, goddesses, etc., that kind of stick around for my entire lifetime. I am connected to them, personally, intimately connected to them. They are part of me, and that's a lifetime thing. They're not going to go anywhere, and it probably will go through many, many lifetimes. This is also the same type of relationship you would have with your own holy guardian angel or personal daimon, that also connects you throughout a lifetime, and possibly many lifetimes. But then you get other spirits which come in to teach you something or help you with a particular task or goal, and then once that's done, they'll leave because they have nothing to help you with anymore. And then the next thing, the next project or thing that you need to learn will come along, and then the next spirit will come in and will help you with that. It is very much a case of the spirits coming and going, because there's no need for them to stick around after the task is completed. And later on, maybe 5-10 years down the line, you have a similar task and that same spirit can help you again. So they'll come in and they'll help you. And then when that task is finished, they'll leave again. So it's very much kind of teachers and guides and helpers that come in, do their job, and then they leave because there's no need for them to stick around. Even then, there are still some that may come in, you may work with them for a while, and then they leave, and you may continue to give them offerings and such, because you know they've left, and they may not ever come back again, but you still have appreciation for them, so there's no reason why you can't give them offerings and help them, just like they helped you. So, bear that in mind also. But I don't think it's a case of them losing interest. It's just that, they shouldn't stick around anymore because they have no reason to. That's all it is. Okay, so I'm actually going to leave today here because I see the next question is about mirrors and portals, which might get into a bit of a lengthy answer on that one. So that's it for this week, and I'll see you next time. Have a good one for now. Cheerio. Bye-bye.